Great. It's great to be here in the building this morning. The last few weeks have been quite odd for me. A couple of weeks back I was at home on my own, and then last week I was sitting at the mixing desk doing all the sound. And this morning, just being free to not do something has just enabled me to be able to worship God. And last week I went home and re-listened and then worshipped God, because when you're on the mixing desk, you're so focused on the technical and all that stuff. Steve and Solomon and James are on there today doing all the technicals. Well done, guys. I salute you because I know how hard that is. Great. Well, I want to read to you from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I'm just looking at where I am. See, that's what happens when you're technical. You start to look at the camera shot and things like that. Great. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to read verse 18 to 21. These are verses that many of you will know quite well, but Paul is writing to the church at Corinth and obviously talking about who we are in Christ. And so verse 18 says, all this is a gift from Christ who brought us back to himself through a gift from God who brought him back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. A couple of weeks back, we were just talking about, in fact, it was a month ago now, first weekend of January, us hearing from God. And I spoke to you about Jehoshaphat saying, is there a prophet of God here? And the fact that we as the church need to be hearing what God says and speaking to our community. That then I was really focusing on what it means to hear God's voice. And this 21 days of prayer we've just been through has been one of focusing on getting rid of the distractions and focusing on God, getting rid of the stuff that keeps us from God. Maybe, as we spoke about then, sometimes we don't want to listen to hear God's voice, but actually hearing God's voice. And this morning I really want to talk to you about how we then communicate that to our community around us, because we're called to hear the voice of God and speak to the people. So this morning the question the question I really want to address is, if we are supposed to be prophets, then how should we deliver our message? Well, the message is this, and I've been reading through the Old Testament prophets over the last couple of weeks, and I was reading in Micah earlier in the week, Micah 6, verse 6, and it says this, with what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of olive oil? Should I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. The message, if you like, of the Old Testament prophets was not make lots of sacrifices, was not give all that you have, but give all that you are, to walk humbly and righteously, to treat others with humility and righteousness and justice and mercy. And you can read the Old Testament prophets and you can see that message repeated again and again and again. And in a sense, that is the same message: righteousness and justice. But actually, the question for us as a New Testament church is slightly different. Because Jesus spoke of the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, and he said, but now the kingdom of God is here. In a sense, the old message of keeping the law and doing what the prophet said has been fulfilled in Jesus. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. So in a sense, our message is still that of righteousness and justice. But as we read here from Paul, actually the message is one of reconciliation. We are reconciled to God through Christ. We're reconciled to God because of what he has done. And as we've read there in 2 Corinthians, we are called now to reconcile others to God, to bring others to that relationship where their sin is forgiven and cleansed. The danger is that we, as the church, as the body of Christ, become angry people who condemn all of those who don't live according to God's laws, as it were. And we're going back then to the law and the prophets. The danger is that we almost stand on a street corner and preach damnation, and we've seen that has happened over time in the church. We become protesters and political campaigners, and we forget to preach reconciliation. I believe that the New Testament shows us a different way to be a prophet, to be a different way to bring the voice of God to the community that we are part of. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is here. So as we read there in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, we are ambassadors. Ambassador, that word originates in the Greek city-states before, if you like, Alexander the Great, Philip, his father. Around that time, the Greek Empire was made up of many, many different states, like warlords, and they were fighting together, and gradually Philip managed to unite them all, and they would send ambassadors, and the job of the ambassador was to bring reconciliation between two different warring states. And in a sense, that's how the Greek Empire was established. And so a few hundred years later, when Paul uses this word ambassador, that is what they understand. It's someone who goes to mediate between two different warring states and bring a reconciliation. And that is exactly the image that Paul shows us here. We are ambassadors. We're called to bring reconciliation. Jesus came first, and he did the work on the cross that enables a man and God to be reconciled. And we are messengers, we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God. And we go into our community to bring this message of reconciliation. We read already 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19. It says, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. There's a couple of things about ambassadors, and I've touched both of them already, really, but ambassadors are diplomats. There are many Christians who specialize in telling the world how bad it is. You're a bunch of sinners, you're a bunch of heathens. You know, I read this story or illustration in a book I read by Ed Silvoso just in the last couple of weeks. And he says, imagine this for a moment. You're the president of a nation and you're welcoming a new ambassador from another nation. And he comes to meet with you. And the first words he said to you are, I hate your country. You're bound to be destroyed on account of your evil ways. I'd rather be back home than here, but I have no choice till I'm transferred. Well, that ambassador doesn't really have much of an influence, is not able to bring reconciliation. Because the first thing they've done is at the very least, annoyed the president of the king of that country he's been to. A diplomat, an ambassador is a diplomat. He goes diplomatically. He goes softly, softly. He goes carefully as not to offend. And that's a challenge because there are lots of Christians that don't live like that. But if we are like that ambassador that goes and says, I hate all that you are and all that you represent, then our message is lost. You know, a nation has many ways to interact with another nation, and an ambassador is one of those. You know, there are other ways. We have armies and we have, you know, we do sanctions and all of those things. But that's not the role of the ambassador. The role of the ambassador is to be diplomatic, to bring a message of peace and to bring a message of reconciliation. The generals in the army might have a different message. They might be threatening. We'll come to that in a moment. But we are called with a message of reconciliation to be an ambassador. And that, in a sense, I've already explained. Ambassadors bring reconciliation. As I said, the first instances of ambassadors were to bring reconciliation between warring city-states in the early Greek Empire. And we clearly understand from what Paul says that we are here to reconcile man to God, to be the intermediary, to be the one who speaks to both in a sense and brings this message of freedom, of life, of hope to our community around us. We live here as in 1 Peter, the old translation is strangers and aliens or sojourners. We're travelers passing through, but we're here for the moment with a message. We're priests of the kingdom of God. And we're here to bring this message of reconciliation. We live by the rules of the kingdom of God. You know, an embassy, if we were to go to the US embassy in London, when we go in there, we're under the US laws. Or if we go to the Swedish embassy in London, when we go there, we live under Swedish laws. And our households here on earth are embassies of the kingdom of God. In our households, we live under the rules of the kingdom of God. We live here trying to bring righteousness and justice and mercy. And in one sense, we look at the rules of the kingdom of God and say, they are higher, they are greater than those around us. And we live under these rules, and we often are expecting of ourselves, we should be expecting of ourselves, much higher than we expect of those who are not yet in the kingdom of God. Because we have a king who we have been reconciled to. We are his subjects and we submit to his authority. But here's the thing, I want people to look at me and say, I want what he's got. He's got something more than me. I want to be part of that kingdom. I want to be part of the kingdom of God. And in one sense, that's how we bring reconciliation. We show what it means to live under the authority of the King of Kings. And people look at us and say, they've got something that I need. I mentioned just before, you know, the nations not only have ambassadors, they also have armies. And I just want to mention briefly the place for warfare for us as the church. In the prayer meeting on, I think it was Monday, Sarah mentioned about seeing a picture of an army calling out the soldiers. And she mentioned that old song, I Hear the Sound of the Army of the Lord, which is probably one of the most boring songs ever because it repeats the same line over and over and over again. But here's the thing, we're called to be an army as the church, but we're not called to fight against the world. And that's the thing that we must understand as the church. Our enemies are not people. Ephesians 6 says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Warfare is not meant for people, it's meant for the devil. We are ambassadors to the world, but we are adversaries to the devil. How often we end up battling people, not spiritual enemies. How often we get caught up with seeing the people who are victims of Satan as our enemies, instead of seeing Satan as our enemy. You know, those people who oppose the church, those people who come against the things of God, are not our enemies. They are victims of Satan that need to be set free. And if you continue to read there in Ephesians 6, we see the battle is done in heavenly places by prayer. By us getting on our knees. By us focusing our attention into the spiritual realm and dealing with those strongholds there and breaking them down. We'll talk about that another day. Just to conclude with this morning, and God has a way of changing our plans sometimes. Yesterday morning, we had as part of our week of prayer, we had a prayer meeting, and there was a whole bunch of people on, and it was almost like a really workmanlike prayer meeting. Some of the others this week have been more about waiting on God and seeing what he's saying, but yesterday was it was like we almost had a list of stuff to pray for. We were going through all the areas of the church, and then suddenly it was as though God stopped us in our tracks and brought this prophetic word to us, and Annie Bentley said, I've got something that I need to share, and it was quite difficult to hear because the Zoom call was really not great, but I think we all knew that God was saying something significant to us. So I asked her to send it to me by email, and I've got it here in front of me, and I'll read some of it out. I'll perhaps read all of it out, we'll see. But so this is what Annie sent to me, and as she began to explain, she said she'd been praying over this time and walking, and of course it's been raining a lot. There's none of us that can have missed the fact that it's been raining a lot. And so Annie's prayer was that there would be a saturation of the Holy Spirit in us. And she talked about how the ground gets saturated when the rain comes and gets more and more, and how muddy it gets in a way. And in a sense that we would be saturated by the Holy Spirit. And then she talked about where in the hills where they live, there are streams that are flowing that don't normally flow because of all the rain. But then she talked about one spring which always flows. And it's a spring of water that comes out of the hillside, the chalk hillside. And one day she spent time there by that spring that comes out of the ground. She was thinking of all the references in the Bible to water and all of that. And the word Mara came to her mind. Now, those of you that know your Bible will know that Mara was a place where the Israelites came just when they had come out of Egypt. And the water there was bitter. And Mara means bitter. And so Annie said she had this word, bitter water, and she came home and looked it up. Exodus 15, if anyone is interested. And in that story, they couldn't drink the water. They couldn't, it was bitter. And Annie's written here of the thought that she had from God, really the flavor of earth has got into the blessing. So there's this pure water that's coming out from the spring, and the mud and the dirt and everything else is coming into that water from around and making the water bitter. And in that story in Exodus 15, Moses, you know, the people come and complain, we can't drink the water, it's no good. And Moses took their complaint to God. And God showed him a tree, and he put it in the water, and it turned sweet. And actually, there are trees. I was looking it up after Annie mentioned it yesterday. There are trees that they've got antibiotic qualities, and you grind the seeds up and throw it in the water, and it purifies the water. Anyway, here's the key. God has a remedy for all our troubles before they even happen to us. And in a sense, and as Annie spoke about this yesterday, she said, you know, Moses threw the tree in the water and it was purified. But in a sense, the type of that is Jesus' cross. That he was crucified on a tree. We hold within us, I'm quoting directly now from Annie, we hold within us the power of the cross of the Holy Spirit. I sense we're being asked to stand in the bitterness and sweeten it by the power of Jesus' healing, to put the flavor of heaven back in the blessing. We're called to be ambassadors, to bring the flavor of the kingdom of God. Dave, when we finish, wherever you are, can we sing again, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Because the Holy Spirit living in us, when we just come and stand in the water, that which should be pure but has been made muddy by everything around it, when we come there, we bring purity and we bring life and we bring hope. And he writes, Lord, please may we know your power to stand in the bitter water and see it turn sweet. May we see your blessing restored. And then she writes in Exodus 15, if you will listen to the voice of your Lord God and obey it and do what is right in his eyes, then will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent in the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. We have a healing power dwelling within us. Let's be bold. Let's bring the sweet flavor of God into our own little worlds. That's our job, to be ambassadors, to bring the kingdom of God into our world, the sweetness of the kingdom of God into the world of around us. So just to conclude with, and we'll sing in a moment, we're the body of Christ, called for a purpose, our purpose to bring reconciliation between God and man, to show the people around us the kingdom of light, to fight against spiritual enemies, to bring good news, to make bitter waters sweet. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your challenge to us, to bring life and bring hope, to bring sweetness, to bring righteousness and justice. Father, I pray you'd help us to stand in the water. Father, I pray you'd help us to get into our community and be light and hope and bring sweetness. Father, I pray you'd help us in the name of Jesus. Let's sing again, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. And as we do so, let's make that our prayer. Holy Spirit, live in me, live in us, that we can be life and hope to our community.